Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 87 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jacob Lindberg.
Upper Farmers and Bluestone are at the Family Life Center on the corner of 801 and US 60.
Some residents in Rowan County will vote in new polling places tomorrow.
Vote buying has been alleged in a southeast Kentucky community.
Police are investigating a bank robbery in Leslie County.
No cuts were necessary for the 2018-19 year at Maysville Community and Technical College.
Kentucky's Attorney General says the State Board of Education violated open meetings laws.
In sports, Moorhead's baseball Eagles prepare for the OVC tournament.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Scattered thunderstorms tonight with low around 65 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The majority of Rowan County voters will be casting ballots Tuesday in the same location as the 2016 presidential election. However, five polling locations have changed within the county. Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis says Pine Hills and Brushy precincts have moved from the fire station to the Carl Perkins Center. Lower Farmers is now at the Armory Building, while Upper Farmers in Bluestone are at the Family Life Center on the corner of 801 and US 60.
So we're hoping to have some better getting in and getting out, more room for privacy on the voting end, because those precincts were quite crowded where there was two. So I think it'll be a lot better.
10 of the county's 18 precincts will set up voting machines at the Moorhead Conference Center. Hogtown, Edson, and Pine Grove precincts will once again be set up at the Patriarch Youth Center and Haldeman and Hayes Crossing Fire Department and the 377 Fire Department, respectively.
The Hazard Police Department is investigating a complaint of election fraud involving multiple people. Hazard Police Chief Minor Allen tells WYMT that multiple people may have offered money for their votes. Allen says it is a common theme in eastern Kentucky around election time. Chief Allen said he plans to ramp up patrols on Election Day. HPD has contacted the Kentucky Attorney General's office and asked for their assistance in the investigation. Election fraud can be reported through the TIP 411 program or by calling the Attorney General's office.
No injuries were reported after a plane skidded off the runway in Lexington. According to WKYT, the incident happened around 1:30 Saturday afternoon at Bluegrass Airport. Eric Frankel is the executive director of BGA. He says 80 people were on board Delta Flight 3359 when it landed in heavy rains.
Veered off into the grassy area. It's a level, it's flat, it allowed us to get to the passengers easily. If, you know, we're going to have an incident, this one was really safe to have.
Passengers were rescued and shuttled back to a terminal. Meteorologists estimate over an inch of rain fell in 1 hour when the incident occurred. Several flights were canceled or delayed while the plane was fished from the mud.
Kentucky State Police say they are responding to a bank robbery in Hyden in Leslie County. Troopers say it happened at Hertz Creek branch of Hyden's Citizens Bank. According to WYMT, police responded to the scene and will provide more information as it becomes available.
Lexington police are investigating multiple shootings in just a few days. There have been six shootings since Saturday morning. One of them turned deadly. The most recent was early this morning on Roosevelt Boulevard off Georgetown Street. A man says someone shot at him with at least one bullet hitting his car. He flagged down a police officer a few streets over. Media outlets report the shooting on this morning is the third time in 2 days police have been called to Roosevelt Boulevard. On Sunday morning, a house was shot at. And a few hours later, a man was shot on the street. On Saturday morning, 45-year-old DeMarcus Clay was shot and killed on Eastland Parkway at the office lounge. He's the 12th murder victim in Lexington this year. A second person was also shot, and police are still looking for suspects in that case. Also on Saturday, police say a man fired shots into the air at an apartment on Creekside Court. Andrew Heller has been arrested in that case and charged with wanton endangerment. Police confirmed a seventh shooting, after a man showed up to a hospital after shots were fired on Ross Avenue Sunday night. The man was not cooperative with police.
One man is dead after an officer-involved shooting in eastern Kentucky. According to WYMT, the shooting happened in the Baxter community of Harlan County yesterday. Trooper Lloyd Cochran says authorities witnessed 36-year-old Bradley Grant run through a yard while responding to a complaint.
Once he saw troopers pull in the driveway, Mr. Grant then fled on foot inside the residence, at which time both troopers pursued Mr. Grant inside the residence. That's when they encountered him.
Investigators say Grant emerged from a room brandishing a shotgun. He allegedly ignored commands to drop the weapon and was walking towards the troopers when they opened fire. Grant was taken to Harlan ARH, where he later died.
Kentucky State Police have arrested a man accused of suggesting violence towards police. 28-year-old Kyle Childress posted two photos to a fake social media account. The pictures showed Childress brandishing a firearm behind a state troopers and members of the Laurel County Sheriff's Office. Childress is charged with second-degree disorderly conduct.
An employee of Clark County has been charged after she allegedly wrote 29 fraudulent checks and deposited them into her personal account. According to WYMT, sheriff's officials began investigating after checks allegedly written by Jennifer Adkins were deposited into her personal account beginning in December 2016. According to her criminal complaint, investigators believe Adkins wrote 29 checks, 17 of which had forged signatures. Adkins was an employee of Clark County Emergency Management and was the only person with access to the checking account for the local emergency planning committee. That is money meant for the training exercises for local responders and facilities that deal with hazardous material planning. Officials say those checks totaled $11,551. Adkins was arrested on 17 counts of forgery and one count of theft by unlawful taking. She has since been released from the detention center.
A bat found in a Lexington neighborhood has tested positive for rabies. WKYT reports the bat was found in the Radcliffe-Marlboro neighborhood. Officials are posting signs notifying people in that area. They say those living nearby should make sure their pets are vaccinated for rabies. Symptoms include behavioral changes, chewing, fever, and loss of appetite. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, keeping our community a safe and enjoyable place to live and work while moving forward in a progressive but responsible manner. County services include the detention center, road department, ambulance service, and animal control. In addition, funding for the airport, parks and recreation, economic development council, and other community organizations provided under the guidance by the elected officials of the Rowan County Fiscal Court.
A military freight liner will soon be for sale by the Johnson County Sheriff's Office. According to EKB News, the truck was received through a military program that donates surplus vehicles to rural authorities to help generate revenue. The Sheriff's Office hopes to sell the truck in order to purchase new department vehicles. Sheriff Dwayne Price says with only so much funding available, donations like this can be a big boost for the department.
Well, money's tight in every county, including Johnson, and we were told by the courts to try to create ways to make revenue, and this is what we've come up with. And so far, it's worked pretty good.
Price says the 2008 all-wheel drive Freightliner will be up for sale within the next couple of weeks. Anyone interested in purchasing the truck can contact the Johnson County Sheriff's Department at 606-789-3411.
The Kentucky Legislature's decision to reduce its post-secondary appropriation by 6.25% hasn't had a big impact on Maysville Community and Technical College. Dr. Stephen Vazik says the fixes made to the state's public pension system during the 2018 session by lawmakers, along with their move to put $6 million into the budget this year for the Kentucky Community and Technical College system, have basically kept MCTC in a financial break-even position. But Vasek admits while there will be no employee layoffs, there will also be no new hires, and it will be much harder for the school to start any new programs.
It hinders us. It makes us less nimble, which I think is something that we've always wanted to be more of. But by the same token, I know across the state we're all struggling with these budget issues, and I'm hopeful that the legislature will have an opportunity to deal with some tax reform and maybe come up with some new revenue streams that will help us down the road.
FASIC, though, admits the financial picture for Maysville Community and Technical College in the near future looks much better than it did initially.
Deep cleaning of dorms on the campus of Morehead State begins this week. Although a few classes are being held during the summer intersession, most of campus is empty. Facilities crews are taking advantage of the time to deep clean inside the university's dorms. Assistant Vice President of Facilities Kim Oatman says the teams are scheduled around many of the university's summer events and classes.
We're jumping around quite a bit to avoid and coordinate with the camps. There's a number of camps on campus this summer. It's kind of here, really here and there. With the exception of basically three buildings that are scheduled to be taken, for the most part, offline.
Those buildings are Nunn, Normal, and Mays Halls. Oatman said all three will be ready for students to move back in this fall.
A ruling from the Kentucky Attorney General's office says the State Board of Education violated the Open Meetings Act by discussing in closed session changes to former Education Commissioner Stephen Pruitt's contract. WDRB-TV sought the opinion. The station reports the opinion last week said the April 17th executive session should have been limited to discussions that could lead to the appointment, discipline, or dismissal of an employee. Assistant Attorney General Michelle Harrison wrote the opinion that the record indicates that Pruitt's contract was discussed and later amended. The opinion said the board violated the act by discussing a general personnel matter outside of the scope of state law. The amended contract allowed Pruitt's immediate resignation and 90 days pay. Education Department spokeswoman Nancy Rodriguez says board members and the agency's lawyers are reviewing the decision.
Brady Industries will celebrate a groundbreaking for its new aluminum mill at the beginning of June. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
The Daily Independent reports Brady Industries CEO Craig Bouchard made an announcement Saturday saying the groundbreaking for Ashland's upcoming aluminum rolling mill will be on June 1st in East Park. The ceremony will begin with Governor Matt Bevin cutting the ribbon, followed by a tour of the East Park properties and the Ashland Community Technical College. Brady will be hosting festivities outside of the Brady Industries headquarters during this time. The $1.5 billion facility is expected to bring more than 1,000 construction and factory jobs to the Commonwealth by the end of 2020. For WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
Pleased that Brady Industries will soon break ground for its new $1.3 billion aluminum plant at East Park Industrial Park, the executive director of the Ashland Alliance believes things are primed for the region to keep that economic development momentum rolling. Tim Gibbs says there's one major factor driving his confidence in the situation.
Right now, there's a national growth mode going on, and that really, really helps us right now. If there's growth in the national economy, if there's growth in the state economy, that sets up us to be successful. So we need to really take advantage of the fact that the economy nationally and even internationally is strong and make hay while we can.
Gibbs says it's also important that local officials in and around eastern Kentucky combine forces to work together on economic development efforts, such as branding, marketing, and recruiting. He believes that kind of collective effort will be more powerful in efforts to lure more new companies and jobs to the region.
Larry Foxworthy is preparing for a fifth term as Fleming County's judge executive. First elected in 2003, Foxworthy is not being challenged in tomorrow's Republican primary. Meanwhile, no Democrats are on the ballot seeking the chance to oppose him in November. And looking ahead to another 4 years as Fleming's top official, Foxworthy has two major things that he wants to accomplish.
Some more jobs. You know, we need that employer that's going to put 40, 50 people to work. I'd like to see us have some type of a lodging facility or a hotel of some sort in the next 4 years. And there's some other things that we've been working on for a while and hope to see those through.
Foxworthy says if those things can be accomplished, his next term in office will probably be his last. He believes one of his greatest achievements as Fleming's judge executive was helping the county's $1 million debt that it had when he first took office 15 years ago. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening region, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight, otherwise mostly cloudy and lows around 65 degrees. On Tuesday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, highs near 81. On Tuesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before midnight, mostly cloudy, lows around 63 degrees. That chance of precipitation is 30%. In Winchester, it's 86 degrees. In Ashland right now, 87. Inez, 86. Lexington, 87. Flemingsburg, 85. And here in Moorhead, on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 87 degrees.
On our feature segment today, Rowan County residents are saving hundreds of dollars a year in local and state taxes. WMKY's Cody Robinson has that story.
Rowan County is advertised as a beautiful place to live and to visit. Moorhead Tourism Commission Executive Director Joy Brown says the state economic data released earlier this month showed a 1.5% increase in tourism spending from 2016.
This means people that came into Moorhead and actually spent their tourism dollars that we have encouraged to come through based on our advertising and marketing efforts. There was also 9 jobs added in our county that are tourism-related positions. So a 1.5% increase is pretty substantial considering the budget cuts across the state.
Brown says tourism saved each household $886 each year.
If tourism didn't exist, then those taxes are something that they would have to pay in because our tourism dollars replaces those taxes because of the generated from tourism spending. So what happens is every tourist that comes in, they spend money and boost our economy. It helps every citizen in Rowan County.
Brown says the money saved is one of the first things she looks at when she considers how effective tourism advertising has been for the year.
About 6 years ago, we did a complete rebrand of our marketing efforts. We developed new logos, a Visit Moorhead logo. We did a new tourism logo. We started some new digital marketing. We became more present on social media. There was a lot of factors that came into play, and when we were rebranded, it totally took everything to another level, and it's made us very present in the state.
Brown says tourism is a very important part of Moorhead and Rowan County's local economy.
Because every person that comes in to visit Moorhead or to enjoy Moorhead, they are spending money locally. They are spending money whether it's getting gas, buying supplies, or looking at or going through our local shops and buying local merchandise. It's getting money back to the community that is warranted because of those people coming to visit.
She says the more people that tourism can bring into the community, the better.
I think it's getting us a lot of press that we have something beautiful to offer. We have an adventure in Moorhead, and I really think that a lot of people are starting to note that. And it's cool when we start to be able to advertise Moorhead. Somebody comes in and says, the hospitality here is awesome. Well, we already knew that, but I love being able to tell people or for people to tell us that.
For WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
It's 448 and 87 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jacob Lindbergh. We're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall, and we're glad that you've joined us on this Monday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Moorhead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Moorhead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moorheadstate.edu/innovation.
Postseason play. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. It's on to the OVC tournament for the Moorhead State baseball team. Coach Mike McGuire's 32-23 Eagles will be the event's 3 seed after dropping 2 of 3 tight games over the weekend at Allen Field against conference leading and first place Tennessee Tech.
We're going to be ready to play. I think we come out of this weekend knowing that we can play with anybody in our league. We know that, we're as healthy positionally as we've been all year. And I think you've seen that with the production we've had in the run column.
The MSU baseball team faces Eastern Kentucky at 1:30 on Wednesday down in Oxford, Alabama. A Morehead State baseball player has been named a semifinalist for one of college baseball's top awards. WMKY's Greg Jenkins reports.
Junior Reed Leonard was named a semifinalist for the Brooks Wallace Award. The honor, named after former Texas Tech shortstop Brooks Wallace, is given by the College Baseball Foundation to the best college shortstop in the country. All 14 past winners of the award have gone on to be drafted in the Major League Baseball draft, including former number one overall picks David Price and Dansby Swanson. Leonard this season has hit .349 at the plate while setting the school record for the longest hit streak at 47 consecutive games. He also has a .983 fielding percentage while turning 35 double plays. The award winner will be announced this summer as part of the College Baseball Hall of Fame Night of Champions. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
Action in the 61st District Baseball Tournament begins tonight at Don Hardin Field in Morehead. Round County plays the 5:30 opener as the Vikings square off with Menifee County. Coach Scott Collins' round squad has a 26-6 record, including a perfect 6-0 mark this spring against district opponents, who they've outscored 63-1 in those games.
We have played well in the district all the way around, you know, Bass and Fleming as well, but, you know, it is baseball. Anything can happen on any given day, so, you know, we're going to be prepared for Menifee, and then if we're able to get through that, then, you know, we'll move on to the next one. So at this point of the year, it's whoever you've got on the schedule that day.
In this evening's late game, Bath County battles Fleming County. The girls' 61st District softball tournament also starts this evening. In the 5:30 matchup in Frenchburg, Round County plays Menifee County. Coach Larry Sloan's Lady Vikings will start postseason play with a 17-6 record.
We've played some really good softball. Got a really good team. We lost Macy, pitcher, first baseman, Macy Jones, to a broken thumb, which set us back a little bit. But I would really say it's been an outstanding year.
Jones, by the way, recently returned to Round's lineup. In this evening's second clash, Bath County will tangle with Fleming County. The Cincinnati Reds are enjoying a day off before opening a series at Great American Ballpark against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Cincy will be looking to get back on track after returning from a West Coast road trip that saw the Reds win 7 of 9 games. Manager Jim Riggleman's crew lost 3 of 4 games on their home field to the Chicago Cubs.
They dominated us in the series. It's a hot club. It's a very good club. You know, when you're playing a good club that is playing good, it's going to be tough to win some games. And, you know, we only got one out of it. We certainly like to win 2 or 3, but, you know, they denied us.
The Reds and Pirates open their series tomorrow at 7:10 at Great American Ballpark. Away from the diamond, the Braves have released veteran slugger Jose Bautista, who hit just .143 with 2 home runs over 12 games with the team. And the Dodgers have placed pitcher Rich Hill on their disabled list with a blister issue. Meanwhile, fellow lefty Clayton Kershaw threw a bullpen session on Sunday as he bids to return from a bicep injury. He's been out since May the 6th. Game 4 of the NBA Eastern Conference Finals tips off tonight at 8:30, with Cleveland trying to defend home court and tie the series with Boston. Cavs forward LeBron James is shooting 50% from three-point range in the series, and he expects the Celtics to start limiting his attempts from there, but says that's no big deal.
My game isn't defined by threes. If I make threes, cool. If I don't, I'm still, you know, capable of, you know, helping our team win games. You know, I'm not a one-dimensional player where if you say, oh, if you cut his threes off, then he can't make plays. So it's just another aspect of my game that I'm just always continuing to try to get better to help me personally, you know, be as efficient as I can, be even more of a complete basketball player.
With a win tonight, Boston would take a commanding 3-1 series lead. Only 10 teams in NBA history have went on to win a series after being down 3-1. Mason County has hired a new boys basketball coach. Brian Kirk will take over the storied program, coming to the Royals from Augusta, where he spent the past 3 seasons, compiling a record of 47-38. Kirk is replacing Buddy Biggs, who resigned after 3 seasons in Maysville. Several track and field state championships were won in the area over the weekend. Round County sophomore Promise Cross took state in the Class 2A high jump on Saturday, while also finishing second in the 300-meter hurdles. In 1A competition, Morgan County's Kaylee Perry won 2 state championships, winning both the 1,600 and 800-meter hurdles. Morgan County's Michael Prater defended his state long jump title by leaping 21 feet and 2 inches. Also, Menifee County's Emma Hacker won the school's first-ever state track title by winning the high jump. Finally, in sports, Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner Justify is now just a victory away from becoming horse race's second Triple Crown winner in 4 years. Trainer Bob Baffert believes his colt, after his 2 big wins, can add to his recent success in the June 9th Belmont.
It's pretty incredible still. I mean, I'm feeling pretty on the horse, and
And so I don't see why not go to the Belmont. So, I mean, as long as he stays like this, it looks good. So,
the Baffert trained horse Pharaoh broke the 37-year Triple Crown drought back in 2015. That's a look at sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Men's basketball will host a father-child camp on June 9th, an Eagle Day camp June 11th through 14th, and Morehead State Team Camp June 22nd through 24th. More information by calling the men's basketball office at 783-5140 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks closed higher as trade tensions between the U.S. and China dissipated for the moment, while investor sentiment was also boosted by news of deal-making activity. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 298.20, finishing at a final figure of 25,013.29, and this is the first time the Dow has been above 25,000 since March. The S&P 500 was up 20.04 at 2733.01, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 39.70 at 7394.04. The Dow got a big boost from big exporters like Boeing, Caterpillar, and United Technologies on the news of the relaxed trade tensions. And, of course, all three companies are very big exporters likely to benefit from easing trade tensions. Over the weekend, it was reported that Treasury Secretary Mnuchin had said that the prospect of a trade war was, quote, on hold following an agreement to suspend tariff threats. And negotiators from the world's two largest economies over the weekend said they would continue talking about measures under which Beijing would import more energy and agricultural commodities from the U.S. in an effort to bridge the $335 billion annual U.S. goods and services trade deficit with China. Wall Street also got a boost today from a slew of deal-making news as GE will merge its transportation business with Wabtec, a rail equipment maker, in a deal worth $11.1 billion. GE shares rose 2% on the news, and Fifth Third Bancorp agreed to buy MB Financial for $4.7 billion in cash and stock, and MB Financial shares surged almost 13%. Also, Micron jumped 3.3% after the company raised its guidance because of a, quote, healthy semiconductor industry. In the commodities markets, oil was up 1.58%, finishing at $72.45 a barrel. Gold was up 80 cents at $1,292.10 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were strong, with the Stock 600 index up 0.3%. And in Asia, stocks were up as well, with the Nikkei up 0.3% and the Shanghai Composite up 0.7%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the very best performers were Boeing and United Technologies, while the worst performers were Merck and Johnson & Johnson. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Range Resources and Kimco Realty, while the worst performers were Fifth Third Bancorp and Celgen. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 43 cents at 78.18, CSX up a quarter at 64.01, AEP up 15 cents at 65.08, Marathon Petroleum down 67 cents at 78.86, AK Steel down 24 cents at 4.46, and Community Trust Bank was up 70 cents, finishing at 51.20. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Morehead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Morehead, Rowan County, and Morehead State University. More information at 784-1250.
Taking one last quick look at your weather forecast, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight, otherwise mostly cloudy with lows around 65 degrees. In Winchester, it's 86 degrees, Ashland 87, Inez 86, Lexington 87, Flemingsburg 85, and here in Moorhead, it's 87 degrees.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Sean Delaney, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Braxton Howard. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Cody Robinson. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.